Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to First Things First. As always, I'm Jenna Wolf. As always, that is the Hall of Famer Chris Carter. This right here is Nick Wright. Big show today. Kawhi Leonard's one-year stint with the Raptors could turn long-term. Steph Curry looks to add another notch to his legacy. But why not start with Kevin Durant? Without a doubt, the most inflammatory question in the Bay Area, could the Warriors win a title without KD? The better question should be, could they win game one without KD? Because that's what they'll have to do. Durant has been ruled out for the finals opener as he continues to rehab his calf injury. He might not even make the trip to Toronto, which would be games one and two. So, Nick, how close will this series be if KD is unable to go?
Well, to me, whether KD goes or doesn't go, it just changes who the series becomes more difficult for on the Toronto Raptors. With Kevin Durant, this series becomes demonstrably more difficult for Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's going to have to guard KD, particularly in the fourth quarters of these games. He's going to have to figure out how to moderate his energy usage on both ends of the court. If KD doesn't play, they might be able to say to Kawhi, guard Iggy and kind of roam around and save some of your energy for those fourth quarters. But without KD, it becomes much more difficult on the other four Raptors defenders, because there's a lot more running around, there's a lot more screening, there's a lot more chasing. So obviously the Warriors would rather have Kevin Durant than not have Kevin Durant.
Sure.
That is, they can win without him, but they have more firepower with him. But the series, in my mind, gets harder for Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, the others, if Kevin Durant doesn't play because of the style of offense they will play if he's not out there. If he does play, or when he does eventually play, assuming he does, then it becomes much more difficult on Kawhi Leonard, who's going to have to be the best offensive player for the Raptors while guarding one of the best offensive players in the league.
Right. First note on that one, Kawhi Leonard. I'm talking to people very, very close to him yesterday. They feel as if Thursday night in game number one in the NBA Finals, this will be the healthiest that Kawhi has been in a long period of time. So they are looking forward to that. I think that's a very important note.
And does that include the leg soreness he's had in the last couple games in the last series?
Yeah. Overall, he's had some tendonitis in his left knee. And typically, Jenna, you know this training, you have one side of your body, you start to overcompensate, so then something starts to flare up on the other side. He had a problem with his right quad in game number three, was able to get through game number six, but it was important that they got finished in six games compared to seven, so Kawhi could get more rest. And with them clinching at home, they didn't have to travel, so all that was able to help him out. He would love to face Kevin Durant. He would love to. Given the stage of the regular season, given everything that he faced from a load management standpoint, he believes this moment he is ready for. It does change the Raptors and how they're going to play defense, because KD won't be there. They'll have to make up their mind who Kawhi is going to play. But I believe it becomes even more difficult for Steph and Klay. And the reason why is because without KD, you can't afford for one of them to have a bad game. Typically, when you have the big three and you have Draymond and Iggy, you don't even have to worry about it. Two of those guys typically can be off, and they could still function at a high level. When you don't have KD, so now Steph, never been the MVP in the finals, is playing amazing. A lot of pressure on him. Klay, what if Klay's off? Because Klay's not going to handle the ball as much. A lot of pressure on him. And Draymond Green, to me, with KD being out, he becomes the focal point, because his rebound, and he's the leading rebounder and the leading assist, but he gets the ball off the glass, push it down the court, more so with KD. So they have to be able to stop Draymond and realize that Draymond is going to be more aggressive. He's going to be trying to shoot the ball, be trying to score between 14 to 20 points. How can they negate that? They can't let someone else like Draymond score the basketball with KD not being on the court.
Can't you say, Nick, the same thing about Kawhi? At least Steph's had the other players who have, for the most part, been pretty consistent, Klay and Iggy and Draymond. But it's been hit or miss with all the players around Kawhi Leonard. I mean, he's got to be there. Plus, all those other guys have to show up if they even want to compete.
Oh, listen, of course, this is the NBA Finals. If for every team but the Warriors that's made the NBA Finals in the last, 25 years, if their best player doesn't play well, they're going to lose that Finals game. Not a lot of instances we have this MVP caliber player, he no-shows a Finals game, and they won. How many Finals games did the Cavs or Heat win over the last 8 seasons where LeBron didn't play well? Zero.
And even the basketball historians will go back, well, Kareem missed a game. Well, he missed a game. And Magic Johnson did take over, but it wasn't a series. It was only a game.
Right. And even in that instance, Magic, we didn't know it at the time, but Magic was en route to becoming one of the 5 greatest players in the history of the sport.
Yes.
So that those Lakers teams of the early 80s, which are maybe the best facsimile for the Warriors, they had a similar situation where you have 2 all-timers. So if one of them's out, the other one can pick up the slack. One interesting note you said about Klay, I mentioned that if KD doesn't play, maybe they put Kawhi on Iggy and have him roam a little bit, be able to conserve some energy on defense. I don't expect them to do this, but it would be interesting if they say, Kawhi, actually what we want you to do if KD's not out there is take away Klay. Make it to where Klay can't get off, and then the offense will be entirely about Steph and Draymond, that pick and roll and transition. I don't expect the Warriors to have the success in transition with or without Kevin Durant that they had in the previous round. One thing the Raptors got a very good test in and very good experience in was slowing down a great transition team in Milwaukee.
Yes.
That's how they stifled the Milwaukee offense. So I don't think Draymond barreling down the court, getting, you know,
catch them by surprise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that they won't have as much success with that against Toronto as they did against Portland.
One of the key ingredients, I like the fact that potentially Kawhi taking away Klay to be able to negate him from going off and potentially getting 30. But I want to see if Toronto, if it takes them 2 or 3 series during the game with Steph, are they going to trap him? Are they going to play off the pick and roll? Because the other teams in the West, I was shocked. Houston, shocked with Portland, how they played Steph. So I believe that Toronto has the ability. They like to switch 1 through 5. But will they trap Steph, take the ball out of his hand, force other Warriors to be able to score the basketball?
All right, well, the best thing about them spacing the finals out is we get to talk about this for days and days and days and hours on our show coming up. For example, Steph Curry's legacy. Is it on the line in the finals? That's next on FS1. You can always check us out on the Fox Sports channel on SiriusXM. We will be right back.
Don't worry, Jenna. We're just a few weeks away from being able to do your beloved baseball.
Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, we will get to Steph Curry in a second, but first, AAU team, Arkadelphia Bulldogs guard Jakari Livingston throwing down the alley-oop.
Jenna, that's Arkadelphia. Go get it.
Yeah, it is.
Now, check this out. Watch the small guy. Now, when he comes to the gym, I'm playing some ball. I don't expect to run into an NBA player, a little small guy. He couldn't even foul it.
Oh, yeah, no.
He jumped over.
Oh, the defender. No. Thank you. I'm not trying to take that charge.
Hold on. More from Jakari here. This time goes airborne. Dunks on 2 guys.
And now the young guy took this L. You didn't know this was coming, see, but the young guy did try to foul him there. No, you're going to hold that out.
Oh, no, you need to buy a ticket if you're going to ride the roller coaster.
Oh, man.
He tried to latch on.
2021? So he's what? A rising sophomore?
He's a sophomore. Sophomore guard. Jakari Livingston.
Goodness.
All right, finally, a little baseball. Brewers twins, Jeremy Jeffress catching the line drive back toward the mound. Beautiful save. Woo!
Self-defense. He's not trying to catch it. He's trying to move out of the way. Great reaction. That's why you got to be a great athlete playing baseball.
I've got a great off-the-air story about Jeremy Jeffress. A former Royal, brief time with the Royals. Went from the Brewers to the Royals.
Is this now an on-the-air story?
No.
Oh, you were. I thought you were starting to tell
I was telling the people about who the player is.
Okay, Jenna, matter of fact, do us a favor. Tell that on your radio show later on.
Okay, you know what?
Bat, bat.
Bap's easy. All right, let's talk some Steph Curry. As he'll be leading the Warriors into game one of the finals against the Toronto Raptors, that gets underway Thursday night. Steph's resume, pretty tight. Three-time NBA champion, two-time regular season MVP, and voted best babyface in the league. But what he doesn't have is a finals MVP. Steph opens the series as the favorite to win it, though. Nick, what would a finals MVP do for Steph's legacy?
It would move him into that top echelon of all-timers. It's the only thing missing.
He is the
three-time champion, like you mentioned. He is the architect and the centerpiece of, at the very least, the greatest dynasty of this era, and a dynasty that could rival the Bulls in the 90s, the Lakers in the 80s, maybe even the Celtics in the 60s. But the one club he's not a part of is the Finals MVP club. And if and when he gets a Finals MVP, he joins an even more exclusive club than Finals MVP. And that's guys who have multiple regular season MVPs who also have at least one Finals MVP. That list is eight names long. Goes like this: LeBron, Michael, Magic, Kareem, Wilt, Duncan, Bird, Moses.
Wow.
Now, Bill Russell is not included in that. He probably should be. The trophy's now named after him, but it wasn't given his time. But those players are the 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 6th, 7th, 9th, and 14th by my rankings, greatest players ever. And it's going to be hard to keep Steph Curry out of that type of conversation if he adds a 4th championship and a finals MVP. It's the only thing missing. You could argue he should have won it in 2015 over Iggy. He was right there with Kevin Durant last year, but he hasn't gotten one yet. This is his best opportunity, particularly because of how badly the Warriors are going to need him in these NBA finals, with Kevin Durant missing at the very least the first game.
Yeah, I think it's more important to me. The history stands alone by itself, but it's important that he has an epic NBA finals, because in the playoffs, he has not been at his best. We've seen him best during the regular season. Even though he's been a winner, if he's not MVP, because you guys posed the question, if he is, well, what if he's not MVP? Then the story continues, well, man, how good was he? Was he necessary? Because there will be a storyline if he wins it or if he does not win it. Let's just say the Warriors, for argument's sake, they do win it. And Klay gets the MVP, all right? Steph is, it's a hard argument for him, because now he's played in 5 finals. So for me, not playing against LeBron or another iconic player. Now, Kawhi could turn the table and have an epic series, then been like, wow. Because I just believe if he did it against LeBron or other people, it means different things. On that list now, we don't know who they played against. We don't know who Magic won against. We don't know who LeBron won against. But it would give Steph the opportunity to get on that list. And as you think about him getting on that list, you have to think about, what if he does not get on that list, because he has not played his best basketball in the NBA Finals.
But do you agree this is his best year to do it, now that at least KD's not there game one, who knows how much longer?
I believe there's more pressure this time around than any of the other series he was in, because he can't afford to have two or three bad games.
Right.
No, and we have seen, especially starting off in the finals, him get off to a slow start. So with all the pressure on him, and for the first time, they'll be able to double team him. They can take the ball out of his hand. They can force him to do other things with the ball. The one thing I'm going to watch as the series goes on, watch how many turnovers he has. They've kept their turnovers down. I don't believe the Toronto defense is going to allow for that, so I believe they'll be a little more careless with the basketball. So I'm looking forward to seeing Steph on the biggest stage.
And what Steph has to avoid, because this is, I want to be very clear about my feelings on Steph in the playoffs. It's not that he hasn't shown the ability to have amazing playoff moments and amazing playoff stretches. He's in the midst of a 36-8-7 stretch right now. What has prevented him from winning any of finals MVPs in the 3 years they've won the title is he has a propensity, unlike almost any other all-time great player, for the dud of a game. The one in every 5 or 6 playoff games where he is 5 of 17, where he does have a handful of turnovers, where he is picked on defensively. That's what cost him the finals MVP last year, was he had one awful game in a sweep to where it was like, okay, like you could, at the series averages, he and KD were eye to eye, but Steph had the one game where you're like, eh, that's a killer. In 2015, he had the killer game, I believe it was game two, when the Cavs tied the series up before the Warriors went on to win in six. If the Warriors win the championship, if he can just avoid an awful game that would be an excuse not to give it to him. I think it's only 11 people that vote on this thing. It's Van Gundy, it's people at the finals. I think ties will go to Steph. I think people would want Steph to win this.
There's two other guys on his team who already have a finals MVP. So
absolutely,
a tie should go to Steph at this point in his career.
The stage is set, but the trophies aren't given out till the end. And typically, I've been watching sports, covering it too long. The thing that you think is going to happen, typically in sports, is not the thing that's going to happen. So for me, I'm more afraid of Klay going off. I'm afraid of Klay catching fire because in some of these big games, Klay, he's been able to play for a quarter. He didn't have to be outstanding for five games, but there's more pressure on Klay. There's more pressure on Steph. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're neck and neck, Steph and Klay, as far as the mentions, as far as the MVP.
And when you say, Jenna, is this his best chance? For all we know, this could be his last chance. I'm not saying it will be, but we assume Kevin Durant's going to leave. You never think things are going to end before they end. When KD, Russ, and Harden made the NBA Finals and lost to the Heat in five, no one in the world thought that'd be the only time that group got there together. Mm-hmm. When the Celtics won with that big three together the first year, I don't think many people thought that'd be their only championship. I think a lot of people thought, oh, Kevin Garnett's going to have a chance to get a Finals MVP. He went back to another NBA Finals. They lost in seven to Kobe.
Yeah, but these are the Warriors. The bulk of them are coming back next year. There's a good chance and a good likelihood. But I think because of KD perhaps not going deep into the series or maybe not starting for a while, that would be his biggest chance.
Well, listen, it is certainly of these last 3 years, I would argue, the best chance for him to shine because he's not going to have to share the spotlight with Kevin Durant. But I just, while the Warriors will go into next season, even without Kevin Durant as the favorites in the West, they won't be the overwhelming favorites, them versus the field favorites they've been in the previous few years. So, yeah, it's important for Steph because to Chris's point, if this is the last finals they make or the last championship they win, and all of a sudden you're back, they're like, wait, Iggy won one, Durant when he was there won two, and Draymond peeled one, Klay peeled one,
and KD's out.
And without KD there, so there, I was looking at it from if he gets it, what it catapults him to. If he doesn't get it and they win, what that means for him, fair or not, moving forward is an interesting discussion as well.
All right, the news again this morning, KD is out for game one. We will see what that means for the rest of the team over the course of the next couple hours coming up. Could this just be the beginning of Kawhi's career in Toronto? That is next on First Things First. Tiger Woods returns to Pebble Beach, the site of his most dominant major win. The U.S. Open begins June 13th on Fox FS1 and the Fox Sports app. It's about that time. Time for us to go viral. Yesterday was Memorial Day, so LeBron decided to hang out with some buddies. Posted this video to the gram. LeBron, Russ, Chris Paul, his agent, Rich Paul, hanging out, smoking cigars, having a good time. Do we read anything into it or just a bunch of guys having fun?
Well, you can't call this tampering because all those guys are on long-term deals. Now, I do bet my guy Daryl Morey saw that and was like, man, maybe the Lakers will trade for Chris Paul's 3 years, $120 million left.
That's a good little barbecue right there, Jenna. I'm sure LeBron, though, had the chef preparing some stuff that you would be able to eat. But all these guys, they got houses in L.A. It's not surprising. You have to invite them. Chris Paul's cross town. The Brody is cross town. Westbrook.
Brody, oh, well done.
Yeah, like come that. On, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's his crew.
I'm disappointed our guy Shannon wasn't invited. Shannon's in L.A. Shannon should have got the invite. Come on, LeBron. Hit up Shannon. Shannon would have been the life of the party there. I don't know if he would have smoked those cigars. Maybe he brought a $1 black and mild, but Shannon could have been there. Okay.
I don't know what you want me to tell you.
Nothing.
You're begging for an invite on Memorial Day? He's big enough to fight for his own.
Stories to start your morning. AD Anthony Davis hoping to be traded to the Lakers to join LeBron this offseason, but Pelicans executive David Griffin reportedly met with AD yesterday to try to convince the big man to stay in New Orleans. This is fascinating. I'm absolutely dumbfounded.
Those drills are amazing.
Talent. Nick, any chance AD is a Pelican for the long haul?
I would be shocked and stupefied if he was. I couldn't. I cannot imagine.
Well, you visit that, stupefied now. Don't go there now.
Okay. Shocked? I would be beyond shocked. Touche. I set myself up for that one, and you walked right through that door. Listen, the only way that you have a real chance of convincing Anthony Davis to stay is to just ignore his trade request, go into the season, and have him fall in love with playing with Zion. But you do that, then you run the very real risk of getting nothing for him, him getting hurt, or all of a sudden you guys are playing so well, you end up not wanting to trade him at the deadline. I think David Griffin is too smart and looks at things too much from the long haul to run that risk, so I don't think they're going to be able to keep him. I think he's traded in July.
David Griffin's doing the right thing, though. These are the right steps. You go through the lottery process, secure the pick you have there, then you start trying to talk to the Brow to get him to stay. He's not going to want to stay. Out of the top 10 players in the world, no one needs more branding in a big city more than Anthony Davis. He's going to end up in L.A. or in New York. His management team, they don't want to be in New Orleans. And AD's already given them 7 years. So I look to him to be moved, Nick.
And real quick, see, of the top 10 players, no one needs more branding, you're saying. And I would argue no one needs to play more games on a big stage. We've never seen Anthony Davis except for one second-round series.
I could watch those ball skills all day long. Moving on to the Warriors, they cruise to their fifth straight finals appearance, with the Rockets giving them their biggest challenge in the Western Conference semis. Houston's coach Mike D'Antoni said they have a championship mentality. See, what can the Rockets do to close the gap with the Warriors?
They got to get better defensively. And I just believe that last year, that was the best defensive team. We were surprised they were going to be a top 10 team. They end up happening to getting in the top five. So you got to be able to play some defense. And also, you have to have variation within that offense. I'm with Chris Paul. Man, you got to be able to move the ball a little more. So I do believe that Chris Paul made a point with James Harden. You can't play ISO ball and win an NBA championship.
And I will add, though, one thing they are not going to do to close the gap is to fire Mike D'Antoni. I know there have been some reports from some of my friends in Houston that with the Rockets changing up the coaching staff, could it be in an effort to get Mike D'Antoni to quit? If you were a betting person, it is a far better bet that the next Mike D'Antoni news is that he signs an extension rather than that he is released or fired or let go. They are committed to Mike D'Antoni moving forward.
But I do believe they forced him to fire some of his staff.
Well, I mean, there's clear some of those. Listen, they're not going to be able to change the players. They're not going to change the head coach.
Right.
You got to tell the guys we're going to be better for some reason. So sometimes some assistant coaches kind of have to be the fall guys, so to speak, in that equation.
All right, moving on to some football now. Recently retired Ohio State head coach Urban Meyer has been linked to a comeback, with rumors swirling he could take the USC job. But Urban downplayed the situation, saying, "I think I'm done. See any chance Urban returns?"
Not unless there's some type of medical emergency. That's going to have to happen first, and then someone's going to have to convince his wife. Don't ask Urban. Ask his wife. His wife does not want him to be on the sideline. And most people realize when they're in a relationship, that spouse has something to say. But if he does, shit, I'm the wide receiver coach. I'm waiting on the miracle, Urban.
So, but Urban, listen, but you've made two things very clear about if Urban were to go back to coaching. One, that if it were USC, you'd go coach the wide receivers. But two,
yes,
you would also be upset with your friend. Given what he had said, the reasons he wanted to stop coaching, what he wanted to do, and the things regarding his long-term health and his ability to enjoy a long, happy, healthy life, that this would be a quick change in that.
I think that I know enough about Urban and I know enough about the situation. There would be an easy explanation, because it would have to be something of a medical miracle for him to be able to be on the sideline and coach the way that he coaches. He has problems when he gets upset, when he begins to yell, and that's Urban Meyer. So he can't coach that way. That's the reason why he resigned at Ohio State. It's a real, real issue.
All right, finally, earlier this month, video surfaced of Cowboys Pro Bowl running back Ezekiel Elliott confronting a Las Vegas concert security guard. The situation escalated, and Zeke would later be handcuffed, but not arrested or charged for the incident. The NFL will now reportedly review it to see if Zeke violated the terms of previous suspension guidelines. See, what'd you make of this report?
It's not good for Zeke, and there's two things wrong with this. One was the security guard, the part of the photo that you did see. As a celebrity, as an athlete, you can't walk up on another man, because you don't know what's going to happen. Now, Zeke ended up happening to get the right security guard. he had got the wrong security guard. They're in an all-out brawl right there. And then the part of the footage where Zeke continues to impede a young lady from walking and getting in her way. And given what he's been through in the past, I don't know why he would ever be in a situation like that. So I'm surprised that Zeke would put himself back in that position. I'm not surprised that the NFL is not going to look into it. They have to do that, especially with the visibility of someone like Zeke. I mean, they avoided an incident there in Las Vegas, but it wasn't because of the player, because Zeke did everything but try to walk away. And we go through, we teach the players so many things. We have acting companies come out, and they act out scenarios exactly like that one. So the players are more than informed at any other point in the NFL of what to do, what not to do. And Ezekiel Elliott, ever since he's come into the league, we have seen that he is going to teeter on that side. He's going to be an edge player. And that's a guy that, man, you don't know if one day he's going to get arrested. You don't know if one day he's going to be drunk. You don't know if one day he's going to be involved in some type of violence off the field. Because that's what Zeke has had the tendency to do in a very, very short career. Now, I know he got suspended before, but a lot of people say, well, he wasn't guilty in the court of law. But what the NFL, what they have to prove and what they have to prove in a court of law, they are totally, the optics are bad. And given that his struggle potentially with alcohol or with young ladies and putting them in a bad situation, this is not good for Ezekiel Elliott. He wants a contract extension. Now, for me, if I'm Jerry Jones, I'm Stephen Jones, man, do I give that guy $50 million guaranteed? Right. So it's not good for Zeke and what he's trying to do. And even if he wasn't trying to get a contract, you would think that at this point he'd be a little bit smarter in social settings than what we saw in the video.
All right, to me, there's the off the field and the on the field. I want to address them both quickly. One, on the off the field, see, I'm really glad you mentioned the part that isn't what he's theoretically in trouble for. Not the bumping of the security guard and kind of chesting him into the barrier to where he falls, but the 90 seconds that lead up to it. Because the 90 seconds that lead up to it, if you watch this video, to me, are more troubling than that. There's a young lady who appears to be with Zeke, at least because she's with him. She's trying to help him at the end of the video when the cops are trying to detain him. So they clearly have some relationship, but she is, again, there's no audio, but if you watch it, it looks like she is repeatedly trying to walk away from him. And he is repeatedly following her. And menacing might be too strong of a word, but I don't know if it is. Cutting off her path. At one point, it looks like he restrains her by the arm and she pulls away. And that's intimidating, problematic behavior from a guy who we once saw when he was seemingly intoxicated in New Orleans, pulled down a young lady's top, which is criminal problematic behavior. And so not to mention what he got suspended for with the alleged violence. So there's that. I think Zeke is old enough to recognize that he and alcohol maybe don't make the greatest mix. That maybe Zeke, when he's perfectly clear of mind, is a good dude. But he seems to have a different personality, or the worst traits of his personality come out in these settings with alcohol. So that's the off the field. The on the field is this. He might have just given the Cowboys an escape hatch on some of their offseason cap troubles. They've promised to pay Dak. They and Amari are evidently far apart, but they traded a first-round pick for Amari. And Byron Jones is sitting there waiting, saying, man, I will let you guys not give me a contract with 1 year left on my deal. See what I cost as a legitimate shutdown corner in this league. But Zeke's the best player of all of them. Zeke's accomplished the most of all of them. Zeke should be the next in line to get paid. If you're Dallas, you now have a very legitimate reason to say, even if the real reason is, well, look at what just happened with Todd Gurley. Look at the short shelf life of these careers. Very legitimate reason to say, we're not paying you. We are going to show us a year, not just of good play, but a year of not showing up in one of these videos, and then we'll discuss the payment. Going off season with no problems whatsoever. So I think Zeke, this little short clip, and, you know, shortly being handcuffed and then released, could cost him a lot of money moving forward and could be beneficial for the Cowboys' cap situation, but really problematic for their most talented player on who is he once he gets a few drinks in him.
It's surprising, or maybe it's not surprising, that he he knows what it feels like to have to sit out of football. He knows what it feels like to have to serve a suspension. It's not like he got in trouble, but he didn't have to serve a suspension. He already knows that. So to either not have the right people around him constantly reinforcing, you cannot be either seen doing this, you cannot get in trouble, get ready for football, get your mind in the right place. That, to me, was a little bit surprising. But do you think that the NFL disciplines him for this, or do you think the Cowboys do in any way?
No, I don't think he's going to be disciplined for it because there wasn't an incident between him and the young lady. The optics being wrong and can you discipline a guy, those are two different things. Now, as you go forward, all this is just information. The NFL, they keep a file. It's just like your records in school. You go to the principal's office for making a mistake? Now, I told Nick a couple of years ago, I wouldn't be surprised if Ezekiel Elliott was in the commissioner's office several times in his career. Haven't been wrong about it. I don't think he'll be suspended for this one right here, but it's in the file. And Park Avenue, of course, they have to look. He's one of their most valuable players. He's one of the most visible players. And this is in the same family of something that he was already suspended for.
And just quickly, if something were to happen in the future, he has removed all benefit of the doubt he could possibly get. You know what I mean? Whether he does it or doesn't do it in the future. If Zeke Elliott's accused of something, if someone says, he did this to me, there are now going to be a lot of people who say, all things being equal, I don't believe Zeke.
Right.
Because he seems to have a track record of, let's just call it the very least, some bad behavior and bad decisions.
All right, let's get back to the NBA now. The Toronto Raptors are riding the coattails of Kawhi Leonard. And while his focus is on the Warriors, Kawhi's pending free agency looms. Many teams want him. Only one appears to have the leg up on getting him. Kawhi's uncle and advisor saying, quote, Toronto's a beautiful city. Kawhi has often spoken highly of Toronto. See, let's read the tea leaves. How optimistic should the Raptors be about signing Kawhi to a new deal?
Well, they own his rights. I mean, he's going to have to opt out of his contract to move on. The memories that Kawhi has, he's only got two memories. That's San Antonio. What happened there? And now what he's got going on in Toronto. I'm fortunate. I was able to talk to Uncle Dennis yesterday and talk about some of the things that Kawhi is involved with. And Kawhi has spoken very, very highly of what Toronto, not only the city, but also the organization, the medical staff, the coaching staff, how to utilize his ability. And he feels like he's gotten better as a basketball player. So all those things to be very important. But right now, Uncle Dennis, he don't know. Because Kawhi is about the next treatment, the next practice, and the next game. And he said that's the way he's going to look at things, just like that. I'm trying to get healthier, I'm going to practice, and I'm going to make the most of game number one. I'm only guaranteed four games. So they feel as if Kawhi will be healthier than he has been. But right now, their sole focus is to make history in this NBA Finals. They don't care anything about the Knicks, Toronto, the Clippers, or the Lakers right now, because all those things will be there. The day after the finals, they'll sit down, Uncle Dennis, his agent Mitch Frankel, Kawhi, and his significant other, and then they'll make a decision as far as their basketball. But right now, because he's playing with them, he has the dunk of the NBA playoffs. He's got the buzzer beater of the playoffs. He is at record-breaking pace. What if he puts together, let's say, four 35-point games in this final? What if he's the finals MVP? I mean, because right now, I know LeBron James wants to play with Kawhi, and they know Kevin Durant wants to play with Kawhi. Kawhi is concentrating on the job at hand, and that is to shock the world and be able to defeat the Golden State Warriors. In my communication with him and the agent, as of yesterday, that's what they're thinking about.
And Kawhi's going to end up with four spectacular options. And I think because of how he's played and how he's conducted himself and how he's handled free agency, it's going to be very hard for anyone to begrudge him no matter what option he takes. In no particular order, option one will be to stay in Toronto either as the defending world champions or as the defending Eastern Conference champions. Option two, go to New York and play with Kevin Durant. Option three, go to Los Angeles and play with LeBron James. Option four, go to Los Angeles and play with whomever the Clippers build around with you as the focal point centerpiece. There is no bad option. Those are three amazing cities. You could argue three of the best five cities. Now I'm listing North American cities. But three great cities that people can have successful, fruitful lives in. And Kawhi, because he has handled his business so professionally and played so well.
And turned the narrative around from what it was last year.
Played through injury, turned the narrative around, and not allowed this story. He did take a page out of LeBron's book in this way. I'm gonna treat free agency like this. It starts when free agency starts. This is the regular season. This is the playoffs. I'm not doing what Kyrie did and holding that press conference when I'm in New York. I'm not doing what Kevin Durant did and having it be a that I don't want it to be a story, but continue giving oxygen to the story. Now, I will say, for Raptor fans, you should feel better about your chances than you did 4 months ago.
Sure.
But the one decision I feel that if Kawhi knows he's going to the Lakers, Clippers, or Knicks, he obviously can't say it right now. But right now, if he knows I'm staying with Toronto, he could say it. So I don't think he's made up his mind. No. I don't think it's definitive in that regard.
Absolutely.
Because if it were, he would tell us. Just like if Kevin Durant knew he were staying with Golden State, he can say that. And so, but we'll see what happens the rest of the way. And I think he's positioned himself where no matter what they do in the finals, Kawhi has done his job for the Toronto Raptors.
Knowing what we know about who's on the teams this year and next year, of the four teams Nick listed, the Raptors, the Knicks, the Lakers, and the Clippers, adding Kawhi would give which of those teams the best chance to win next year?
I mean, if you go to the Knicks with him and KD, that's a special team. If he goes to the Lakers, him and LeBron, it's a special team, and they don't have to get rid of the young players. I think that the Lakers are the best team on paper if he goes there. But I'm just going to tell you, Toronto fans, Knicks fans, Clippers fans, Lakers fans, Kawhi Leonard is a different dude. This dude just dropped Brand Jordan for New Balance, okay? So if you think, if we ever had a player do that, no. So to think that we know what he's going to do beforehand, if you're outside that circle, that you're just guessing. Now, I do have a feeling where Kawhi is going to go. I think it's been fairly consistent, but I'm not at liberty. I don't want Uncle Dennis and the agent calling me. But I do have a feeling where Kawhi is going
to
end up.
Jenna, if your question was where's the best chance place for him to win,
yes.
Well, the place he's at might win the damn title. So you could argue the best place for him,
roll
even with the opportunity to play with LeBron or Durant, play with the Raptors, who might be the defending champs here in a few weeks. But I think Kawhi is going to do math differently than a lot of us necessarily would.
New Balance coming up. Are the Warriors in trouble in game one without KD? That's ahead on First Things First. Oh, we're back here on First Things First. And we're joined by, I just wanted to be demonstrative about being back.
You've
we're
been
joined
great
by
today,
FS1
Jenna.
NBA analyst.
Sarah Kustak, good to see you, my good friend.
It's lovely to see you. Love your dress. It's great to see you.
Wonderful. Mutual admiration society around
compliments,
here.
Compliments.
Kustak, I'm upset with you. The show was going well. You come in and wreck the whole show. Control room's going crazy. My guy on the jib can't get it right. And Jenna.
Guy in the jib got it right.
Can't get right.
Despite a 60-win regular season, Sarah Kustak, and probable MVP honors, Giannis Antetokounmpo couldn't get it done as the Bucks fell to Toronto and missed out on a shot at the finals. So where does that leave the core of this Milwaukee team? Well, if it were up to Giannis, he would leave it untouched. Giannis posting to the gram, "We'll be back stronger and better, Milwaukee. Thank you for supporting my teammates and I this entire season. We couldn't have done it without you all." Sarah, how well are the Bucks set up for the future?
There's going to be a lot of decisions for Milwaukee to make this offseason. I like the fact Giannis posted that. That's kind of typical for what players do at the end of the season. I believe Giannis will be back stronger and better than ever. He's only 24 years old. We understand the type of work that he will put in this offseason. But when you look at this roster, handful of decisions to make with a lot of unrestricted free agents. Chris Middleton, a player option for $13 million. He'll likely opt out.
Definitely opt out.
And he is going to command a lot more money. Same with Malcolm Brogdon, who's been an important piece for the core of this team. He's dealt with some injuries, but he will command a lot more money on the market. What are you willing to pay him? Nikola Mirotic, who pretty much was played off the court throughout the course of that Eastern Conference Final. Brooke Lopez, George Hill. So the compilation of what this team roster looks like could be very different. And Milwaukee is a team that in the past has been averse to going into the luxury tax. So there's going to be questions for the ownership of what they want to do, how much money they're willing to put into a team that fell short of reaching the final. So it's going to be interesting to see. But I think there's a lot of moving parts with this group.
All right, I'm going to say four names that Sarah didn't say. Wes Edens, Mark Lazary, Jamie Dimon, and Mike Fascitelli. Those are the four billionaires that bought this team for $550 million from Herb Kohl a few years back. They're worth a combined right around $6.5 billion. You've got the single best asset in the league, Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he's going to have a decision to make here in a couple years, but really a decision in 1 year. Will he accept the Supermax you can offer him, or will he decide to go elsewhere? I say that to say this. You don't buy sports franchises because you're worried about the luxury tax. You buy sports franchises the way you buy a Picasso, because it's dope to have. There are only so many of them in the world, and eventually you'll be able to flip it for more money. You bring back Chris Middleton, you bring back Malcolm Brogdon, you bring back Brooke Lopez, and you run it back.
And you hope that he wants to stay.
Well, if you make the finals, he will. And if you continue showing, he has not had any flirtation with other cities. He has shown no inclination to leave. Mm-hmm. He is a guy who is, we have a lot of NBA stars who are from humble beginnings. Giannis's version of humble beginnings are a little different because of his parents were immigrants from Nigeria to Greece.
Yeah, they're real though.
They're real humble beginnings. And I would be shocked if next year you present a team as good as this year, they are competing for 60 wins in an NBA championship again, and then you offer Giannis $250 million, which is what it would be, and he says no. Now, you give him an escape hatch if you start being cheap. If you say, Chris Middleton, can we sign him? Malcolm Brogdon's a restricted free agent. You can match anything anyone offers him. There's no reason he shouldn't be back. Now, you can't bring back the whole team. If you lose Mirotic, it happens. If George Hill, I think he's got $18 million on his deal, but I think it's player option. If he opts out, I understand that. But those three guys are key, and they're key to keeping the only guy on your team that really matters over the next decade, Giannis.
And we have seen throughout the course of the NBA that you could essentially be in any city and build your brand. However, Giannis is a player who has made it clear time and time again, all he cares about is winning and winning a championship. You talk about his family, how close and tight-knit they are. He lost his father while playing in Milwaukee and being in Milwaukee. And throughout the course of that, the first place that he went to, and he was very open in saying this, was the gym. Showed up at the practice court, brought his brothers there. His mom is around all the time. This has very much become his home. And for a player like Giannis, if you put the right pieces around him and give him the right situation, that will continue to matter.
Are those the right pieces, CeCe? You say put the right pieces around him. There's nothing else you would do to this team. This team was right there on the cusp and can roll it all back next year?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, for a shot or two, they're in the NBA Finals. So we can't lose perspective on where they've come. We have their general manager sit right here, talk with us about as far as what they planned on doing going into the future. I think Giannis, how he was raised, realizing that his parents were immigrants, so he doesn't have the draw of a kid playing in the United States that ultimately wants to play in Madison Square Garden or wants to play with the Lakers. He doesn't think like American kids are. And you're right. Milwaukee has become his adopted home. He talked about yesterday in his exit interview, he talked about walking around the city, seeing Milwaukee Bucks banners, seeing Giannis jerseys, seeing how the culture has changed. They have earned the right after winning 60 games, making a huge decision as far as Coach Bud and that front office. They have the system to win. They don't have to change and tinker. Right now we talk about, well, wow, what about LeBron? How can they bring LeBron there and Magic wants to have playmakers? You don't need no playmakers. You need some spot-up shooters. So they have the ownership. They have the management. They have the style and the coach already. They just didn't get there. And we had not seen a team in the last 20 years that was able to skip this learning step and be able to become a champion. Nick thought they might be able to do it because of Giannis. It proved that no. All these steps in the last 20 years in the NBA, 30 years in the NBA, it proves out. You need some experience. You do need an iconic superstar and some other players around them. Also, Milwaukee, realize the league is going to recalibrate next year. There ain't going to be no more Golden State. So all you need is a star and an all-star to be a championship contender.
The league and the Eastern Conference. What happens in Toronto? Does Kawhi end up staying? What does Philadelphia do and what decisions do they make? Boston is up for grabs. So all of these other teams that you were looking at as contenders in the Eastern Conference, a lot can change, and Milwaukee has the opportunity to have their continuity.
I think fair money would be that the Knicks will be demonstrably better. Toronto, if they lose Kawhi, takes an enormous step back. Boston's losing Kyrie. Philly, I would be surprised if they are able to keep Butler and Tobias. So, yeah, Milwaukee is, but Milwaukee's in a great position. Where do they need to get better? Heavy is the head that wears the crown. Giannis has to get better. Like, that's what it is for them. Their best player has to now take that next step. But even with Giannis at the level that he was at, to Chris's point, they're a double overtime game away from being up 3-0 and probably being the team in the NBA Finals, which is why you run it back, which is why you pay these guys. I do not believe Giannis will leave Milwaukee because of the glitz and glamour of the coasts. I think he would only leave Milwaukee if he feels like winning is not as important to my bosses, the ownership, as it is to me. And so that's why this summer Milwaukee has as about as interesting of a summer as any team that isn't in the market to add a big-time player.
It's a good conversation. All right, Sarah, stick around. Coming up, is Steph Curry's legacy on the line in the finals? That's next on First Things First. Back here with Sarah Kustok, and we're talking Steph Curry. He's a three-time NBA champ and a two-time regular season MVP, but what he doesn't have is a finals MVP. The good news, Steph is heading into the finals as the favorite to take home the honors. Sarah, would a finals MVP do that for his legacy? Would it really change his legacy?
I think it's the one thing left that we can talk about that he still has left to accomplish, given the things that you listed. But I think aside from that, to me, Steph Curry has changed the complexion of how we view NBA teams playing basketball, the way young kids are running around on courts, doing his warm-ups, trying to emulate the way in which he plays. So would it take his legacy to perhaps another level? I think it would affect it. In my opinion, I don't think he needs that to cement anything of how we will remember him. But I do think given the career that he's put together, what we will still anticipate him to continue achieving and earning throughout the course of however long he plays, it is the one thing left.
There's a number of players that throughout NBA history, they've changed the way that people have played the game and either how people dress, fashion, all kinds of things. Julius Irving, when I was a young kid, man, everybody wanted to fro and everyone wanted to be able to palm the basketball and to be able to dunk. Then we went through this phase after that where it was magic, and everyone wanted to play, pass the basketball, be happy, get your teammates involved, and then came the killer, Michael Jordan, and also the fashion icon, the shoes, the shirts, the wristbands, the knee brace, and then came LeBron with his new shoes, the force, the power. Between all those, there was another guy, his name was Allen Iverson. Him, Jordan, they changed the game more than any people that I can remember as far as on the court, off the court image. Allen Iverson had a thing, rap music, his braided hair, the long baggy shorts, the swag in the game. That was Allen Iverson. But why isn't he talked about when we talk about the greatest players? Because he doesn't have some of them other things. Because they're like pillars, they're columns. How many championships did you win? How many MVPs did you win during the regular season? How many MVPs of the finals did you win? This is the way people judge it. Weirdos like Nick, all right? They make these lists and everything.
Right, I'm about to give you one.
And this is the reason why it becomes important. Now, he is not Allen Iverson, but there's a reason why Allen Iverson is just the iconic basketball player compared to one of the all-time great, one of the Mount Rushmore. It's because he didn't have those things. So, to me, it's very, very important. All championships are different. He has a great opportunity without KD, because there would have to be a story if they win and he's not the MVP, and that story wouldn't be good for him because he's already got one of those with Andre Iguodala when he won their first championship MVP.
Well, so let's look at if it happens, if it doesn't happen. If it happens, here's Steph Curry's resume. Pick the first line. Is it greatest shooter ever? Is it more titles than LeBron during LeBron's era? Is it the first ever unanimous MVP? Is it What is it? Is it the centerpiece of the dynasty of his era and one of the all-time dynasties and a finals MVP, which is the only thing missing? Now, on the flip side, if they win and he doesn't get it, or if they lose, you mentioned I like making lists. I do like making lists. And people can argue about the order of the list, but a pretty universally accepted 14 greatest players ever is LeBron, Michael, Magic, Kareem, Russell, Wilt, Duncan, Kobe, Bird, Shaq, West, Oscar, Moses, Akeem. Pick the order. Those are the 14. Every single one of those guys has a finals MVP, except for Russell and Oscar, who their era was before there was the finals MVP. You go to the guys playing today that could join that list. Dirk, he has a finals MVP. Wade, he has a finals MVP. Kevin Durant got a couple finals MVPs. So now we're at 17 names. Steph Curry has an argument, I'm better than all those guys. I've had a better career than all those guys. But the crowning achievement for any all-time great player is that. It's not just the championship, it's that you were the best guy, not only during the regular season, but during the postseason of that championship. Karl Malone's got the second most points in NBA history. He's got two MVPs. He's another guy. Mm-hmm. Now, he doesn't have a championship at all. He's been there a couple times and played really well, actually, but nobody cares. I shouldn't say nobody cares, but he is not considered of that tier. And in an odd way, obviously, for Steph, getting this fourth ring is the most important thing. But when we're picking nits at the legacy, I think it'll be easier to explain if they lose this finals, like, hey, they didn't have KD, they went up against Kawhi, than if they were to win the finals and Klay gets an MVP. It's like, wait, Klay got one, Iggy got one, Durant got two. And so, because people will recreate the history and make it, he never played well in the finals. And that's not the truth. The truth, though, is, every year they've won it, he's had at least one dud of a game that has taken the wind out of his candidacy. Last year it was game four. The first year they won it, it was game two. And he has given the voters a reason not to give it to him, even if it's, some people could argue he should have won in 15 and in 18. And nobody would argue in 17 it was KD. And so there is a lot on the line. His legacy is cemented, kind of. He's one of the all-time greats no matter what, but now we're talking about climbing that mountain. It gets very slippery at the top.
I think there's a small margin for that. To me, though, I look at it, what if Klay spends a lot of time on Kawhi and he does a good job locking him down?
Yes.
And he has games where he
goes
absolutely nuts. And he gets the MVP. To me, I think Steph has, will it take him up a notch? Is there small places
probably
for him to get to?
Will it pull him down, though, if he doesn't?
Well, if he doesn't play well.
No, if he doesn't get this coveted finals MVP.
See, I think it could add to it. To me, there is a way in which I look at what Steph Curry has put together through the course of career, and it has been something that's unlike a lot of others.
It might not mean anything, but you have to explain why.
But when it...
He's been to five finals, never the MVP. Why? Yeah. If he's one of the greatest players ever, why? And I just believe that all those trophies, it's an accumulation of all of them.
But
that's why Jordan's the greatest.
And that's why I think it's so much fun for us to potentially see what this team may do if Kevin Durant
doesn't return. Nice try
there
on your stupid list, too.
Been on set when you've had a list.
He was late to work today. That's why he couldn't
watch
it. I was very...
Tomorrow you'll be able to see a list.
Yep. Get ready.
That was a great list, see.
We'll see you later in the show, Sarah. Coming up, do the Lakers have a new trade target to team up with LeBron next on First Things First?
He can't do the graphics and visual because he's got to spend like 15 minutes on that hair.
Oh, my God.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.